I'm Jonathan Capehart, and welcome to Capehart. Problemista is a story about Alejandro, an aspiring toy maker from El Salvador who is faced with being deported unless he can get a work visa. This sobering, surrealist story of the complicated U.S. immigration system comes from the whimsical mind of comedian, actor, writer, and first-time director Julio Torres, a former writer for Saturday Night Live and a Peabody Award winner for his series Los Espookies. In this conversation, first recorded for Washington Post Live on March 13th, Julio Torres talks about what led him to make a movie that so tracks his own issues with the American immigration system, why he turned Craigslist into a person in the movie, the importance of Elizabeth, a role incredibly played by Tilda Swinton, and why he wanted Alejandro to be a fully fleshed out character.
You know, there's this burden that comes with the idea of who is allowed to be and who is not allowed to be in this country, and that there is this idea that only the most extraordinary of people are granted the grace of stability, that only the most, the brightest, sharpest, most pure of heart are allowed the dignity to live a stable life as an immigrant here. And that's such a burden to carry.
So Problemista is partially inspired by your life. At what point did you realize that your story, your life story, could be a film?
Well, you know, it wasn't really until I started really playing with it, and I started really allowing myself to bring in these sort of surrealist flourishes and adding those flights of fancy that make this movie what it is, that I felt comfortable doing a movie about this, because I think we all think that our experiences can be a movie, and obviously anyone's story can be a movie, but I didn't really feel like I had anything in my hands until I really found the tone of it, which is very it's very honest to who I am, and I think depicts this particular story in an emotionally honest way, which is, you know, it's difficult, it's challenging, but it's also funny and full of whimsy.
You know, you say that everyone thinks that their story, their life story, could be a movie, but you said, and I'm quoting you from an interview you did with the Hollywood Reporter, you said, "I've always had a hard time being personal. I found it so boring to make a movie about me and my experience or something. I found that so uninteresting." So how did you get from having that mindset to realize that, you know what, it wouldn't be so boring if I turned my story into a movie?
You know, funny enough, it wasn't until I realized that I could make Craigslist, the website Craigslist, into a person, into an entity in the movie. It's sort of like when I realized, like, oh, a movie can be anything. A movie doesn't have to be, I'm not making a documentary about my experiences. I feel like the first attempts of an artist diving into a new form is that you try and compare it to or make it look like other things that you've seen, and it takes like some time to be like, oh wait, no, I can actually do it my own way. So that's when I started really getting excited about this.
Mm-hmm. Now, you just said, you know, you're not doing a documentary, which is true. This is a fun, surrealist movie. But you also have said you developed an allergy for doing the poor little immigrant story or the poor little queer Latinx story. But how does Problemista not fit that mold? I'm sorry, I have such a hard time saying the title of the story. It's like, I speak Italian, but it's Spanish, and it's just getting all garbled in my head. Yeah. So how is Problemista, how does it not fit the mold that you are trying not to do?
Well, by fleshing out the character and not presenting the immigrant as an idea of a person, but rather a fully fleshed person who is not perfect, who is flawed, who is finding himself, and you know, there's this burden that comes with the idea of who is allowed to be and who is not allowed to be in this country, and that there is this idea that only the most extraordinary of people are granted the grace of stability. that only the most, the brightest, sharpest, most pure of heart are allowed the dignity to live a stable life as an immigrant here. And I that's such a burden to carry. And I think that in Alejandro we find someone who is bright, who is imaginative, but is also like, you see him failing at doing like menial tasks because he's not perfect, and he's not he gets to be flawed and he gets to be picky.
Like, what was the name of that the program he pretended he knew how to do but couldn't? Was it Filmmaker Pro or
FileMaker Pro?
So, you know, yeah. At the start of the film, Alejandro is working as an archivist at a cryogenic freezing facility. But after he loses his job, he has to quickly find a new one. And we have a clip of Alejandro trying to get back on his feet. Let's take a look.
They didn't want to sponsor me anymore. I'm actually from El Salvador.
Oh, El Salvador. Pupusas.
Yes.
And those nuns they killed in the 80s, yes.
Right. So now I'm looking for a new job.
Oh, you are?
That will maybe sponsor me.
Oh, well, I'm not sure I could offer anything formal, but maybe freelance, and then we could see. Did you use FileMaker Pro at the facility?
No, we use Google Sheets.
Well, you can't compare that to FileMaker Pro.
It's basically the same, except FileMaker is harder to use and not free.
Do you know FileMaker Pro?
Yeah, I love it.
Oh my goodness, that's splendid. Oh, yes.
FileMaker Pro is like another character in the movie. It's so great. But in that scene, Julio, we saw Alejandro is spellbound by those three words, we could see. Why were those three words so magical and so important to him in that moment?
You know, I think that because when you have a lack of options and you feel like you have no answer to a question, if the answer is maybe, that maybe is so potent, and you hold on to that. You know, whenever you hear that you desperately want something, and they say, "Well, there's a slim chance that you'll get it." If you're a hopeful person, then you really, really, really hold on to that. And I feel like that goes hand in hand with these ideas of immigration, where they really make the applicant feel like it's highly unlikely that they'll get it their way, and yet because for so many people that is the only way, then it's like, oh, okay, so there's a chance.
Mm-hmm. So in that scene we saw Elizabeth, who is incredibly played by Tilda Swinton, and we have to talk about her because in an interview, Tilda Swinton said, Problemista is a film about predicaments. So talk about her character, Elizabeth, who I found at once compelling and irritating as hell. How does Elizabeth add to Alejandro's predicament?
Well, Elizabeth is a walking predicament. She's she's the storm of a person. She's all id. She is not the kind of person who you want to hold your future in her hands. But, you know, she's the kind of person that one would easily brush off as a nightmare and not want to like be with her for a long time. But due to circumstance, my character ends up having to spend a lot of time with her. And then because of that, the audience has to spend a lot of time with her. And in doing so, I hope that you peel up the layers. And even if you don't, it's sort of like, to me, it's sort of besides the point whether we like someone or we don't like them, it's about like having the curiosity to understand them and where they come from.
So
emotionally.
Right. And so what does Alejandro learn from Elizabeth?
I think that she is sort of like she's like a predator. She's sort of like a wild animal with claws, and I think that's sort of what he needed, is to learn that there are times where being pushier and assertive is needed. And that doesn't mean that he absorbs her totality. I think that you can learn from someone without vouching for their character 100% of the time. Right. Hopefully that's what we do with, like, say, a parent, is like we take the best from them and then we just sort of leave the rest there.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that was sort of a leading question, because you come to learn what Alejandro learned from Elizabeth. And I'm not going to give anything away, Julio. I'm going to move away from the plot of the movie. And now let's just talk about the storytelling. Because even though FileMaker Pro is the unsung character of the movie, the hourglass is a prevalent symbol in the film. What does it represent to Alejandro?
Well, there's something to the urgency of coming to the States, in that there is a ticking clock determining how long you can be here for. And if you want to stay here, then you're racing against that clock to be able to find a way of staying here. And that is something that I felt very deeply trying to get a work visa, is that I knew that that unlike my American-born peers, I didn't have time on my time wasn't on my side. I couldn't take like a year after college to figure myself out and then like just see where I landed and experiment and see what I wanted to do. It's like, no, I have to get a sponsor and I have to do it very, very quickly. And you know, that hourglass for me was immigration, but for other people may be other things. I have friends who feel like they're caught in a liminal state similar to the ones in Problemista, but maybe theirs is insurance, figuring that monstrosity out, or financial instability, which is also obviously a big part of the immigration problem. But the hourglass is just a constant reminder that every second feels like it matters when you want to stay here and you don't have the answer yet.
You use elements of surrealism throughout Problemista, as well as in your award-winning series, Los Spookies. How does leaning into fantasy bring your stories to life?
You know, it's not really a conscious choice as much as an impulse and one that I have learned to embrace. It is the way that I am most capable of communicating feeling and emotion. Sometimes I see a movie that is two people in a house and I walk away from it thinking, God, now that's how you tell a story. Like, less is more. And then I put pen to paper and suddenly I have Problemista, and which is the opposite of that. But I think that's just where I'm happiest. And it may also, frankly, like, maybe a cultural thing. It may be like a Latin American sensibility, particularly like a Central and Northern South America sensibility of this sort of like maximalist, bright colors, highly symbol heavy way of depicting art.
Mm-hmm. And the series is Los Espookes. You said in our quote
title that, like, if you get it wrong, that's fine, because it's like we really pulled it out of nowhere.
Yeah, I feel better. I feel so much better.
There's no wrong way. And, you know, mind you, this was actually part of the process of finding the title for this movie, because it's like at one point I was going to call it Problema, which literally means problem in Spanish. And then I thought, like, this movie deserves a title that is as much of a question mark as the movie itself. So that's how we ended up with this title.
Uh-huh. Now, you've said, and I'm quoting you to you now, I'm always surprised when I'm called niche because I'm only communicating in the way that I know how to communicate. And you say that you're proud your work doesn't check any box. How did you find your creative voice?
You know, I think by silencing the noise around you and around me and quieting expectation and then reminding myself that I'm not really making work to appeal to the biggest amount of people that I can appeal to, or I don't have like a consumer in mind or an audience in mind or an award in mind when I making work, and I'm just sort of truly going about it like in the same way that you go about like decorating your home, right? It's like, well, this is what feels right to me, and if people come into it and enjoy it, that's wonderful.
You've said you felt, and I'm quoting here, alien in your native country of El Salvador, only to come to the United States where you were labeled, quote, an alien. Talk to me, talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part of the course of being a young artist. It's that feeling of isolation in one's hometown. I think that's very relatable to a lot of people. But yeah, no, I did feel very othered among my peers, and then there was this idea that you have, which is a rather adolescent idea, I think, that if only you get to the place where you want to be, then you will be with like your kind, and then the sort of sobering reality of coming here, where legally the term on paper used to describe you as an alien, that's an immigration term, it's sort of, I don't know, it was just sort of funny. And then I just leaning into that was, I think, creatively fulfilling. And and finding joy in feeling like a little different everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm. Was it hard for you to, I mean, arguably, you can say right now, you are a successful writer, actor, director, filmmaker now, but being someone who felt alien and felt other, once you came to the United States, did you find it daunting to push through, even though you saw yourself as other, saw yourself as alien, push through to get to where you are?
I did. And, you know, the reasons, frankly, weren't In my specific case, they weren't so much culturally daunting. You know, I had the privilege of knowing the language before I came here. I had consumed movies and TV from the U.S., so I didn't really feel like I and my body didn't feel alien. Or any different than like my peers in college, which is what got me here. But it was the set of limitations that those invisible walls that were placed around me, first as an international student and then as an international student attempting to get a work visa, that felt that's what felt alien to me, that there were certain I couldn't take most jobs. I didn't qualify for most financial aid. You know, I had this ticking clock hovering over my head, and that's what made it feel like, oh, there's certain wiggle room that any college kid has, really. That it's like the margin of error for me felt smaller compared to that of my peers, which is I think something very relatable to most immigrants in the U.S., where they're like, oh yeah, there's things that we can do and there are things that we can't do.
Mm-hmm. Let me get you to talk a little bit more about something you said in an interview with NPR. I guess this was earlier this week. You said, but the thing about me and the character Alejandro that I play in this movie is that it wasn't really the story of someone escaping for survival. It's the story of someone just escaping or leaving for a greater ambition to find himself. Do you think you found yourself, or maybe even more of yourself, by doing Problemista?
Yeah, completely. No, it's been such a dream come true to be able to do this and really I didn't know if I was going to enjoy directing when I first did it. It was truly an experiment, and I had the sense that I would, but I wasn't sure. And I really love it. I really enjoy it, and I really love collaborating, and I really love finding people to make things with. And it's one of my favorite things. But one of my favorite things about being a director is, It's not solitary work. It's not the idea that this is quote unquote a film by Julio Torres is preposterous, because it's like you do it in collaboration with so many people, and I've really enjoyed that, and I hope to do more of that.
One more question for you, Julio. You've been a writer for Saturday Night Live. You've done stand-up comedy. You won a Peabody for Los Espookies. And now you've directed your first film. Many would say just achieving one of those things would be achieving the American dream. So what's your next big goal?
You know, I want to take a little time off and see what ideas come and likely, hopefully, make more movies. I have really enjoyed this process, and yeah, taking it little by little and sort of hopefully keep going in this direction and make work that is emotionally honest to me, that hopefully resonates and rings true to other people.
Well, the name of the movie is Problemista. The writer, actor, and director of that movie is you, Julio Torres. Julio, thank you very much for coming to K-Part on Washington Post Live.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to K-Part. It's edited by Nick Roberts. We'll have new episodes for you every Thursday. I'm Jonathan K-Part. You can find me on Twitter at KpartJ.